Self-bullying. We all do it way, way, way more than we want to admit. And we all know there's book after book after book of those self-helpers that are out there to tell us what we should do. But to truly step into being a confident, resilient self-leader with healthier relationships, whoa, wouldn't that be where the magic happens for everyone? If we could get rid of the false identities, truly discover the keys of self-compassion, ooh, so good. And to step into the importance of emotions and opportunities, those opportunities are endless for what we can do professionally and personally. And right now in this moment, it is huge for us to step into who we are and our own self-worth. And I'm so excited in the next 30 minutes to bring forth an emotional grit and resilience catalyst. Doesn't that sound amazing? And allow her to just for a moment change your world. So wherever you are listening from, oh my gosh, thank you so much. You are live on the Erin Strayer Show, where we are all about promoting, cultivating, and expanding amazing female entrepreneurs that are out in the world doing things just a little bit differently. We talk about hot topics and pain points. Got one today. And the whole thing about that is not only do we talk about them, but we give you workarounds to those challenges that we face every single day. I'm your host, Erin Strayer, and recovering corporates and entrepreneurs hire me to get them business beyond the basics, because most of them are indecisive. They're held hostage by their own fear. And quite frankly, they have settled for average. I thrive on peak performance and finding those scalable strategies for growth-minded entrepreneurs to hit where they want to go. But this show is never, ever, ever about me. It's always, always 150,000% about our amazing guest experts. And today is no exception. Yeah, she's an emotional grit. You got to write it down because it's so good. She is an emotional grit and resilience catalyst and is the founder and CEO of Live Joy Your Way and the Authentic Me Rise Up program. An international best-selling author, Kamini Woods is driven to support people of all ages to heal the relationship with themselves and to stop outsourcing their self-worth. Whoa, today's going to be transformational, I think, people. Her clients become their own confident, resilient self-leaders with healthier relationships. Kamini is a certified life coach, board certified by the American Association of Drugless Practitioners. She holds specialty certifications in conscious uncoupling, new money story, and teen life coaching. Yeah. Also trained in conscious parenting, Kamini aims to meet her clients where they are, supporting them and guiding them on their journey to where they want to be, both personally and professionally. Oh my goodness. Can you even imagine? Please meet my new friend, Kamini Wood.
Hi, Erin. How are you? I'm so excited to be here with you.
I am like ridiculously excited to not only have you and your energy and who you are in the world on our platform and touching and really, you know, being in the space with our audience today. And it's imperative, like there's no coincidences that today's the day for you.
Today. Yeah. No better time to start talking about this.
No better time. Like really. So I want a little backstory on what brought you into like really honing into this self-worth and what that means. Like why this space for you?
Why? Yeah.
Yeah.
So truthfully, it all sort of is that it's life's journey, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm a first generation American. My parents came over to the United States when they were in their teens. I grew up in a small town in Connecticut. Growing up with the name like Kamini, it stuck out. It was different. My skin color was darker than others. And so from a very early age, I felt that underlying current of, you know, you're different and you have to prove your worth and your value. An example of that would even be being in elementary school and being terrified when a substitute teacher came into the class, for instance, because I knew they would go through the roll call and my name would get butchered and it would just be another bright light on how different I am. And there would be all the snickers and sneers, and it felt icky. And in those moments, as a, you know, 6 or 7 year old, the false identity I took on was that I had to prove my worth. I had to prove that I could fit in or that I deserved to fit in. Mm-hmm. And so the people pleasing really started to take hold. When I really did my own self-work, I figured out that that's where it started to take hold. Then you couple in the fact that I was a member of parents who were immigrants. They were very hard workers and I didn't want to be a burden to them. So now you add in this false identity of if I ask for anything or if I need anything, it's a burden to those around me and I don't want to bother them. Right. So you take those false identities into adulthood, and you know, my personality by trade is perfectionist. So you add the people pleaser, you add the false identity of not wanting to burden anybody. You've got this great combination of making sure that I'm, you know, I take care of everybody else's needs first, that I worry about their happiness before my own. I take on the responsibility if somebody is upset or if they're bothered. Mm. The ability to set boundaries did not exist because, again, that would be causing conflict. And God forbid there was some conflict, right? Or that I stood up and said, well, this is what I feel or need. So that became who I was. Now, the other part of my story is I'm the mom of 5. My oldest is 18 and my youngest is 6. And I will forever say that being a mother has been my greatest teacher. And it was through my children that I had my catalyst moment where I saw those people pleasing, need for external validation, need to make sure others were happy before them, playing out right in front of me. Mm. And it was this wake up call for me personally that if I didn't make that shift and I didn't address those things that were that being defined by the roles I was playing or looking for those external validations, or am I living up to these external expectations? Am I checking all the boxes? Yeah. Honestly, just recognizing that I was running on autopilot. If I didn't do that, if I didn't address those things and make those shifts, this is just going to repeat itself for generations. So it was up to me to stop, become aware, and then make the decision to shift. So I went through my own self-work. Yes, it involved coaches, it involved, you know, courses, it involved books, it involved a lot of things that allowed me to make that shift. And while I made that shift, I also remembered that when I was 7 years old, I had had dreams of working with people one-on-one. And through the course of living up to external expectations, I had let that go. Mm-hmm. And so here I was, now having gone through my journey teaching me. And it was this huge wake-up call that this is actually what I was meant to do. This was my calling. I was meant to go on that journey, go through the transformation, do the work, go get the specialty training so that I can now support other people who are dealing with this very thing, with this concept of needing to heal that relationship with themselves first, feel completely whole and complete, mm-hmm. you know, inner source that self-worth, not looking outside of themselves to define how valuable they are, you know, recognizing that their core gifts and their core values are the gift that this world needs. And so here I am today living my why.
You know, isn't it over and over and over, I'm always just like, oh my gosh, it's so cool that you lived the journey and now you're teaching other people how to exist in their space where they excel, like where they're different, what makes them shift, change, alter, be not the norm, the cookie cutter, right? Like, and especially now, like with all of the things going on in our world, and they're always going on. All of these things are always going on. It just seems like it's elevated now that these identities are rising to the surface, right? Like these false identities, who you're supposed to be, your shoulds, are rising, and that identification of the self-worth and, hey, I don't feel like that. Hey, that inner struggle begins. Yeah. Are you seeing a lot, like, what is your take on that inner struggle that happens when that realization, the light bulb, whatever you want to call it, goes on to say, oh, that's not really how I think, that's something false.
You know, it's so interesting because I routinely say that awareness is that doorway to change. And then it's the person's decision to walk through the doorway. Because a lot of times I'm hearing from people, you know, that those false identities of I'm not good enough, I don't belong, I'm not lovable, I'm invisible, you know, people just leave me. And it shows up in ways, for instance, of repeated bad relationships, for instance. And I'll hear from people, I just can't seem to find the right guy or the right girl. I just keep ending up with the same bad patterns. You know, it's the same toxicity. It's the same, you know, they take from me and then suddenly they leave, right? I give them all I have and then they leave. What we have to recognize is what's our part. And I don't mean blame. I mean, what are we showing up with in terms of that identity? What is that false identity that we're showing up in those relationships with? And that's what I'm talking about when I'm referring to heal that relationship with yourself. Figure out what are those false identities that we've acquired, and then stand in this place of, okay, that was my past. I'm not here to fix it, right? We can't undo the past. It is what it is, but it's we can understand it. And now I'm standing in my present, and what is the future I want to generate for myself? And so when we can have those conversations and we can really dissect those things, we can then start to say, okay, that was my false identity. Now, what is the one that I want to stand for? And what are the steps that I have to take to stand for that and to generate that as a possibility for myself?
And I think that's so good, the awareness part of it and what that looks like and how we adjust and shift and change and take the information that we now have. And gosh, I have some options now, right? Like now I have options of what to do with this new information.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that people, though, and you know, I'm asked this a lot is, well, how do they know that they need change? A lot of times we don't know, right? We have like for me, it was that catalyst moment. But honestly, there were little moments along the way. I just wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to see them, and that was the moment that I was ready. And it's really up to us to embrace the moments as they happen and be willing to put in the work, right? Because if we invest in ourselves, and yes, it's time, money and energy. But when we do that, we then can see those exponential growth areas, whether in business or in our relationships or, you know, relationships, not just romantic. I'm talking parent, child, friendships, workplace relationships, all of it exponentially grows when we actually take the time to invest in these shifts and changes. But what happens is a lot of times we know something's off. You know, we know that we're up at night and we're worried and we're constantly thinking about, is that person mad at me or did I mess up that or, you know, did I drop the ball here? We know that something's off. We feel stuck. We're not quite right, but we ignore it. We just kind of, you know, continue on autopilot. It's the moments when we finally say, I'm committed to figuring this out and I'm committed to shifting.
And what a massive aha moment for these people when they actually sit in that space of I'm committed.
Absolutely. I'm actually working with a young woman right now who is she had her moment, right? Where she kind of was checkboxing, going through all the things, wonderful at all things work related, right? Has all of the credit accreditations, all of the titles, working up that corporate ladder. And the one thing that was missing was the connection with her spouse. And why? Because she's been identifying herself by all of the titles and all of the accolades and, you know, little designations by her name that the actual ability to connect emotionally has started or had, you know, dissipated. She wasn't able to actually emotionally connect. So we've been working together and she is having these aha moments and she's like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. This is amazing. And it all comes down to re-engaging with herself first. So then she can take that and re-engage with her husband.
You know, that's a really a brilliant point that you made there is that I think as women, especially strong women and strong professional women and strivers and people, you know, thought leaders like you and I that are out there and we're change makers and we're mission driven and we're climbing the ladder and it's you know, oh, I got to one up the last thing. I got to one up. I got to one up. I got to do better. I have more to do. I want, oh, well, I own the company. Now what? Right? Oh,
Now
well, I need
what?
to buy another company. Right? Oh, now I got to
Exactly.
buy another one. right? Like it's the constant striving to do better. And I know in my personal life, and I'm just going to go there with myself, is that who am I trying to impress? And what am I choosing not to see? And I ask myself that question all the time. What am I trying to achieve? And what am I choosing not to see in the process of wanting more and more assets, more accolades, more letters behind my name, like that, you know, the name tag is pretty big at this point in time, right? Like, and what is being neglected in the climbing ladder? Yeah.
What's being neglected and what are you not present for? Right. Cause it all comes down to how much of your life are you actually missing? You know, I've had those moments before my wake up. It was, you know, a summer would go by and, you know, the kids are back in school and I'm like, what did I just do this summer? Because I was so busy doing the things and getting all the things done and worrying about, you know, did I accomplish this and this? And, you know, it goes back to the to-do list. And I've talked a lot about this recently about maybe it's time that we start shifting. Yes, we have a to-do list, but maybe at the end of the day, instead of looking at our to-do list of all the things we didn't get done, maybe we then rewrite it with all the things we did get done, right? Things that got accomplished today, which is a reset and a reframe of the mind, but it's to look to what we are accomplishing and not constantly think that we're behind the eight ball and we have to do more and we've got to do the next thing. And I mean, how many times as high achievers do we accomplish the goal and it's like, oh yeah, okay, what's next? And there's not even this slowdown and pause to be like, wow, look at this mountain I just climbed, yeah, right? Like look at this accomplishment.
Yeah. I love the what you said about instead of a to-do list, it's almost like a to-done list. like what I got done today versus what I still have to do or what's still on the list or, you know, kicking myself because I didn't get it all done. It's, oh my gosh, look at everything that I actually accomplished today and take a half a second.
Yes.
Of acknowledgement. Yeah.
Of acknowledgement of self. I mean, that goes to this whole concept of self-compassion, right? It's recognizing that it's not selfish to understand or to take the time to acknowledge ourselves for the fact that we are these spiritual beings having a human experience. We are doing the best we can with the information we have in front of us at any given point. And things aren't always going to go the way that we wanted them to. I mean, right before we got on the call, you and I were talking about the fact that I had this plan for my day. And, you know, my son, we were waiting on his teachers to come by because they were doing this lovely graduation celebration for the fifth graders and they got lost. And so all of a sudden I was thrown into this tizzy and it's wait. Forgiveness itself. Like, yes, that didn't go the way that it was supposed to, but what can I take from this in this moment to move forward? And for me, it was 20 extra minutes with my 11-year-old son and 20 extra minutes that I could be present with him and just listen to what he wanted to talk about. And so with that, and when we can start taking away the things either that we can be grateful for or that we can learn from things not going the way that they were supposed to go, it helps us move forward instead of getting stuck in that negative inner critic judgment zone of how we should have done something or we're not right or we're terrible people. It's no, doing the best I can with the information I have.
Yes. Yes. And that grace that comes in that, you know, and sitting. Yeah. It's almost like you're given permission.
Yeah. It's giving yourself grace. It's giving yourself grace and space to be you. To actually be you and to recognize that you are doing the best you can. And with each, it's not about perfection, right? It's about evolution. It's about growing as a human. It's not about being perfect.
Yeah.
And if we can let go of that and recognize this is all a journey, we're learning from every experience we have and grasp that and then really anchor into ourselves and recognize that our core gifts are really that. They're gifts to the world. That's what makes us unique. That's what makes the world tick is the fact that we're not carbon copies of one another.
And there drops the mic. Right? Like it. And sometimes I think that we need that permission. We need that recognition and the grace and to just sit with that extra 20 minutes. And really at the end of the day, that's probably going to rank right up in the top two things that you got accomplished today.
Absolutely.
Even though it didn't start out on your list.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yes.
Like, and
Yes.
the value of the relationship that deepened
Right.
just in a mere 20 minutes, extra 20
Well,
minutes.
that, I mean, that point is huge. What you just said is huge because one of my core values is family. And so that experience that I just had, those 20 minutes, is in line with my core value. And again, when we're starting to inner source, right? Not outsource our self-worth
Yeah.
and who we are as people. That's what it's about. It's about our values and our core gifts and what we feel and the emotions we're having and what we need. Not what the outside world wants us to need or the outside world needs us to need. It's what we need.
See why she's so good, people. I'm telling you, this woman is gold. So I know that one of the things that you teach on, you train on, you coach on, you consult on are the pillars of self-leadership. Does that come into play? Like I'm all about leadership. I'm all about being your word. I'm all about showing up as a leader. What's that look like? I'm all about accepting, you know, hey, I was in the gap. I was the one in the gap, and, you know, acknowledging where I overstepped or misstepped or whatever, as far as a leader. But when we're talking about self-leadership and our self-worth and the inner sourcing, are there things that, you know, you talk about that self-leadership, it's like self-mastery, really.
Yes.
Of yourself. What are some things to be aware of when we come into that?
So when I'm referring to self-leadership, the three pillars I'm really looking at are, you know, self-esteem, self-confidence, and then self-compassion. Mm-hmm. The reason why I say those three for self-leadership is because, again, self-esteem is what we believe we can do, and self-confidence is our ability to actually go do it, right? So the self-esteem is what we think about, what we, self-esteem is how we think about ourselves, and then self-confidence is our belief in our ability to go do things.
Yeah.
The thing about those two is they can be driven externally, right? So as we're trying to let go of those external validations and those external expectations, we have to couple it with self-compassion, which is all internally driven. So we often hear and talk about, even with our kids, right, about self-esteem and self-confidence. I often hear parents saying, I need to give my kids more self-esteem. And it's so important to recognize it's not something we get to give. We get to help develop it, but we don't get to give it. That's a different story for a different day.
Yeah, because so that's a huge one. Yeah.
Yeah. So those two, the self-esteem and self-confidence, can be externally driven. Why? Because we end up in comparison mode. We tend to compare ourselves to others to measure up where we rank.
Yeah.
That's why I talk so often about self-compassion, which I mentioned a little bit before. It's this concept of the fact that we are doing the best we can with the information we have. So we avoid judgment. We recognize that we're humans trying our best, and we need to just take what we can learn from each experience and move it forward. Mm-hmm. The second part of self-compassion is this concept of common humanity versus isolation. And what that means is we're not alone. There are people who have had similar experiences, and A, they've survived, and B, we can ask for help. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's recognizing there is bravery and vulnerability. There's strength in asking our support system that we trust for the support that we need when we identify what it is that we need. Or we reach out to whether it be coaches, therapists, doctors, whomever it is, for the support that we need. So recognizing we don't have to go it alone. And then the third part of self-compassion is the practice of mindfulness, which I know is a very big buzzword right now.
Yeah.
For me, and when I'm talking about mindfulness, I'm not necessarily referring to a 20-minute meditation. While there are definite benefits to that, I will freely admit that I have a really hard time sitting still for 20 minutes and quieting my mind. For me, mindfulness is just presencing yourself in the current moment. So whether that be a quick, you know, breathing exercise of breathing in for a count of three and then exhaling for a count of six and doing that 3 to 5 times, or the one that I really use a lot is identifying what my five senses are feeling, hearing, you know, so I actually will go through and say, what am I hearing right in this moment? And identify like three different sounds that I hear. What do I smell in this moment? What can I touch? You know, what's the taste in my mouth? What do, you know, I just go through the five senses to really presence myself in that current moment. And when I do that, it slows down the monkey mind. It slows down all those thoughts that are running through our mind, and it allows us the space. Again, we're back to that word space. Allows us to the space to figure out what is our next best step forward, rather than, because when we're all jumbled up, and I've read about this example, and I use it all the time, especially when I'm talking to teenagers, because they love little examples. The snow globe, if you were to shake up a snow globe and the snow is floating around, yeah, and you can't see through the water, but if you just lay that snow globe down on a table and just leave it alone for a minute, the snow all falls to the bottom and you suddenly can see through the water. That's the same thing that we're doing with our mindfulness practice. If we just give ourselves that, you know, couple minutes to breathe and be present, we're essentially slowing down the thoughts so that they can settle and we can see through and figure out what our next best step forward is.
Love that. I love the analogy of the snow globe, because that really, it really brings it into a visual. Because even, I mean, I know me, I'm monkey brain all day long. Like, I got 27,000 things going on all day long, and, you know, three different teams of people that want my attention and time. And then your clients are on top of that. And then your family's on top of that. And then all the things, right? You're no different. You're no different. And it's how do we one, like, I love you, that give yourself grace, give yourself permission, acknowledge it, bring it all back forward, and figure out, hey, breathe.
Yeah. It's a reminder to breathe.
And slow it down. And I think that, you know, really, those of us perfectionists, and I fall in that category too, so I align very well with that word. Type A, I don't know what you want to call it, INFJ, right, yeah, whatever. I'm a red zone. You know, exactly. Right. Wherever you want to put me, that's me. And you know, I the self-worth does come up when all the things aren't checked off or crossed off the list. The self-worth does come up when I, old ways of being, or that false identity, you know, that you think you've done the work on, but then, yep, then it bubbles to the top and you're like, oh, well, you're not done. Right. Like that goes on, and you can hear that little, you know, the playground in fifth grade, right? Like, you can hear the mean girls are talking in your head, mm-hmm, and all of that stuff. When I don't feel like I've met the mark, that self-worth bubbles back to the top. And I know that that's all who you deal with, what you deal with in your coaching. And I want to sit and talk about that for a minute, like what it looks like to be in your space. I want to talk about that.
Yeah. So I do work with people one-on-one. I actually only offer one-on-one. I do not do group coaching right now. And I work with people either in 6 month spurts or 12 month spurts. I do packages of time. And it really, what it means is that we're meeting with each other for 60 minutes, you know, once a week. And there's life work, but there's also support in between those sessions. Because what we're trying to do, and I make this abundantly clear with the people that I work with, is I'm not there to fix you or to do the work for you. I'm there to be your co-collaborator. I'm there to be your support system. I'm there to be the person to help you see what is possible for yourself and then help you get there, not do the work for you, but help you get there. So our work together, it's, you know, this very safe, non-judgmental space where you get to come and be you and really unveil to yourself. We, you know, go through that process of revealing what is that old story that is at play, and then what do I want for myself, and then work together to figure out those strategies and tools. Because all of this work, and you said it so wonderfully just a minute ago, where you think you've done all the work. Well, again, it's not about perfection. It's about evolution. And so we're human. We're going to have our moments where we're triggered. The work that we do, though, is recognizing that we are shortening the time from trigger to getting back to center. And that's what the work is about. It's about helping people really see what's possible for themselves, helping them design a plan to get there so that they can write the story that they want to write for themselves and not the one that's been written by somebody external.
So good. It's so good. And I love that it's about, you know, the evolution and the journey of getting there, and that is really what it's about at the end of the day, and what matters, and what people see, and what people, right? And it's so good. So your link has been running. It's on our little ticker tape, like school's out, closing across the bottom of the screen. You can hop on Comini's schedule, right? They can go and get an appointment with you, see if it's a good fit, see what happens between you guys, and spend some time with this amazing, knowledgeable, truly living this resilience and this grit and the emotional inner sourcing.
The inner sourcing of self-worth.
The inner sourcing of self-worth is really at the end of the day, the outcome that people get with you when they spend time with you is that they source that from the inside. They source the self-worth from inside.
100%. They source that inner self-worth. They understand who they are and what value they bring. And what that means is they end up being able to be in these healthy relationships. You know, their relationships either are better or they're able to call in the person that's meant for them, because now they're showing up as a whole person and they're not looking externally for somebody to fill them up. They also find success in business as well, right? Because now, again, they're coming from this whole confident place. So when they're showing up at work, it's showing up, they're showing up completely different, and people will mirror that back to you.
It's so good. It's so good. I can only imagine the outcomes of your clients and what, like the before and the after, like I see the before and after pictures and, you know, really like it shows in their skin, it shows in their smile, it shows in their body language, it shows in their speech, it shows in how they hold themselves, it shows in everything and like everything that they do, every relationship they have, every place that they show up is reflected when that self-worth is sourced from the inside. And that a lot of times we can't do it alone. We need somebody.
Yes. Well, and the other thing that I just want to say on that point is a lot of times we can't do it on our own, and we also can't necessarily depend on our significant other or close family members because they've seen us showing up in a certain way all this time. And so if we're going to break the patterns, we have to break the pattern for real.
I agree 150,000% with that. And to go outside your immediate circle for that help. Yeah. So one, friends, wherever you're listening from, however you're grabbing this information, hop on Comini's schedule. It's chatwithcomini.com, K-A-M-I-N-I, Comini, chatwithcomini.com. We'll make sure it's in all of our show notes. We'll make sure it's in the feed here for people, and really grab a space in her calendar and just have some time with her and see where it goes from there. And Comini, I appreciate you. Thank you for bringing your wisdom and your energy and your emotion to our platform today and talking about this outsourcing, really insourcing self-worth and what that looks like, especially right now. It's so uber, uber important to go in.
Thank you, Erin. I've really appreciated being here with you.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Everybody else, wherever you're listening from, thank you so much. We will see you right back here soon. Take care.